Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, and it's January 30th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we'll be reading in the doctor's opinion, page XXXI, the first paragraph, what is the solution, through two paragraphs ending with a long time has passed with no return to alcohol. And the comments will be on both paragraphs. Today's readers are Tanya P. for the 12 steps and Mary P. for the 12 traditions. The readers of the text are Diane B., Shelley E., and Janice P. M. The share ID for Monday, January 29th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,080. That's 21080. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, January 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,082. That's 21082. Newcomer greeter is Carla C., and the announcements person is Robin P. And I thank all of you for your service this month. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. I'm Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Tanya P. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Mary P. from Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XXXI, that's 31 in the doctor's opinion. We'll be reading two paragraphs. We're beginning with the first paragraph, what is the solution, through two paragraphs ending with a long time has passed with no return to alcohol. And I will now ask Diane B. to begin. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. What is the solution? Perhaps I can best answer this by relating one of my experiences. Excuse me. About 1 year prior to this experience, a man was brought in to be treated for chronic alcoholism. He had but partially recovered from a gastric hemorrhage and seemed to be a case of pathological mental deterioration. He had lost everything worthwhile in life and was only living, one might say, to drink. He frankly admitted and believed that for him there was no hope. Following the elimination of alcohol, there was found to be no permanent brain injury. He accepted the plan outlined in this book. 1 year later, he called to see me, and I experienced a very strange sensation. I knew the man by name and partly recognized his features, but there all resemblance ended. From a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck had emerged a man brimming over with self-reliance and contentment. I talked with him for some time, but was not able to bring myself to feel that I had known him before. To me, he was a stranger, and so he left. A long time has passed with no return to alcohol. Hi, I'm Diane B., gratefully recovered in New York, living in the steps one day at a time. So the first thing that we read here is, what is the solution? For me, the solution is in the Big Book and in the program and in my higher power. Not necessarily in that order, higher power first. But I didn't know that for a long time. And for my most of, well, For my earliest on years, starting from when I was about 4 years old, I always thought I had a weight problem because that's what I was told by my family, that I had a weight problem. And I would go on all different kinds of diets and plans and exercise regimes and whatever, and spent tons of money at you know, exercise clubs. And I always, even if I would lose weight, I'd always gain it back. So to me, that's kind of chronic, and it was ongoing. And I believe that there was no hope for me. I just thought I was always going to have this this fat body. I was always not going to be able to, never going to be able to wear nice clothing or anything like that. So I definitely felt like I was hopeless. But then I came to the rooms. I was sent here by a therapist. I came to the rooms, and it says here, following the elimination of alcohol. Well, that was the first thing I had to do, was I had to eliminate certain foods, and which was very hard for me initially, but then I was able to do it. And then I had to accept the plan outlined in this book. And that meant following the steps, all of them, in order, the way that they are outlined here. It didn't mean, you know, when we hear, I heard in the rooms, take what you like and leave the rest, you know, but that didn't work for me. It was not like, you know, pick from here, pick from there, you know, pick and choose, because I was still in control at that point, and I had to learn how to give up that control. I had to learn how to cooperate with my higher power, cooperate with the instructions in this book, cooperate with my sponsor. And to be honest, you know, I started in 1986, but I now have 4+ years of abstinence and recovery. So it took me a long time to really, really get this. I understood it in my head. Intellectually, I understood it, but I never really accepted it for myself, that this was really a disease and that I have no control here. And then it goes on to say that from a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck had emerged a man brimming over with self-reliance and contentment. And I have to say that I am definitely happier than I've ever been in my life, in most areas of my life. And in the other areas, I just pray about it and I accept whatever comes to me. I do feel more self-confident than I've ever felt. My relationships with my family members and my friends have drastically changed. You know, the transition was remarkable. When I think back to when my children were young and I was in the food, and how I am today being abstinent, you know, it's quite remarkable. I was just recently, thank you. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Diane B., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So just once again, we are on page XXXI in the doctor's opinion. What is the solution? We're reading two paragraphs ending with a long time has passed with no return to alcohol. And who would like to comment on these two paragraphs?
Stephanie L.
Tom L. from California.
Stephanie and Tom.
Nancy J.
Nancy J. Who was after Nancy?
Sherry Z.
Sherry Z. Okay, got you, Sherry.
Thanks, Mom.
Who was after her?
Janice P.M.
Janice P.M.
Yep.
I have Stephanie L. Tom L. I think it's L. Tom. And then Nancy J., Sherry Z., Janice P.M. Anyone else in this lineup?
Chanel T.
Chanel T. All right, we'll stop there. Okay, so I have Stephanie L., Tom L., Nancy J., Sherry Z., Janice P.M., and Chanel T. Everyone mute except Stephanie. Good morning, Stephanie.
Hey, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, and that was funny. My husband and I were fighting to get to share first. Just so I know that, but that was really funny. So, oh my God, I love this paragraph. This is one of my favorite paragraphs in the doctor's opinion because there is so much here, right? What a great depiction of the transformation. I was this guy, right? I had admitted and believed that there was no hope, right? I was just like him. And then they give us like some really clear like instructions of what this particular guy did, right? He accepted, so he was hopeless. He accepted the plan outlined in this book, which is the 12 steps, which was so, you know, I loved the reader's share because it was a beautiful hitting on all of these really important things in this paragraph. But I had to accept the plan outlined in this book. I had to be willing to go to any lengths to recover. And that meant I had to work these steps as outlined in this book. And here's the most amazing thing, right? Because this program is really about transformation. Yes, I have to have the right information. Yes, I have to work these steps as outlined in the book. But in, you know, for me, in relapse, I could quote this book, right? However, it wasn't about that information. It was about the transformation that resulted as a result of working these steps and connecting with a power greater than myself. And then here's the beauty. From a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck emerged a man brimming over with self-reliance and contentment. And, you know, I like to, very visual, I like to picture a caterpillar, right? You know, going, emerging as a butterfly, that transformation, you know? And then it tells us at the end, a long time has passed with no return to alcohol, or for us, for, you know, no return to compulsive overeating, which tells me that recovery can be permanent one day at a time. One day at a time, I'm recovered but not cured. If I work these steps, if I connect with this God of my understanding, experience this transformation. And I, you know, that transformation that later in the book, you know, we read about in step 9 and 10, right? Those promises, that's what they're giving us, this peek under the tent, you know, of this solution that works. It really does. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, and thank you, Stephanie L. Up next is Tom L, followed by Nancy J. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Bo. Good morning. It's Tom L. from California. And for me, recovery is a family business. Thank God. The doctor's opinion has given us a lot of information up to this point. This is the chance for the doctor to say, and this is what happens when you actually carry out, believe it and carry out the plan of action. There are two stories here of the lowest of the low bottom. With overeating, I don't, many of us, there are some of us, but not many of us have gastric hemorrhages and seem to be cases of pathological mental deterioration. It does happen. I have seen it. I have experienced it, especially after a huge binge. You know, I am not of this world. I'm really out there feeling very bad about myself, but wanting to eat more and blaming everybody in the world. It's a strange frame of mind, but I recognize it. So the doctor is saying, hey, if you're this bad, and most of us aren't, most of us, you know, I too came in 20 years ago and I have 2.5 years of sobriety. For me, that bottom was, I knew the big book. I had spent many years at a normal weight. I had built a family. I had a family. I had a career. And then that strange mental twist took me back into that weird world that we live in, and I was willing to give all of that up. In fact, it was being taken from me. And I'm in my mid-50s, and this is getting old. So I accepted the plan. I was like, I can't see how it's going to work. I mean, I've been reading it for years. How about we just do everything it says? And I got a sponsor who followed this book. Exactly. We read this page. We read right through the book and did what it said. I was trembling and despairing, and I wanted to be healthy again. And I knew that if I keep on going the way I was going, I was losing everything. Because you know what? I am a slave to food. I've been a slave to food since I was a little kid. We pretty it up with, you know, I've made bad decisions. You know, I'm willful. No, it's that when my disease tells me what to do, I do it. I've been trained since a little kid to follow my master's orders. Only recently have I been shown in the last few years that it doesn't matter what I think. My master snaps his fingers, I do what he says. What's the only hope for a guy like that, or for these two stories that he writes about? I need a new master. I don't get to run my own life. I get to choose who to follow. And I don't want to die yet. I have lots to live for, but it doesn't matter. One master or the other. There is no choice for a guy like me. Other choice. Anyway, thanks for letting me share, and have a great morning.
Well, thank you, Tom L. Up next is Nancy J., followed by Sherry Z. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Nancy J. in California. Recovered. Feeling very emotional today. this pathological mental deterioration. Excuse me. You know, I have always just sitting. I've always been a quote victim of my circumstances. You know, I'm 65. When I was 18, I was married and in an verbally abusive relationship. And that was my lot in life. And I didn't fantasize about being out of it. I just accepted it for what it was and tried to deal with it. And no one in my life knew. And thank God he got a new girlfriend after 3 years. Thank God. And I was out of it. And I see it now, of course. But this has been my life up until I hit bottom and crawled into this program. I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know enough to have any sort of hope when I came into the rooms. I just knew I couldn't do it anymore, whatever it was. My life had been completely kind of unmanageable. And it wasn't for probably a month of crying and having my head down in meetings filled with so much hate, I couldn't even stand the sound of my own voice. When I started hearing my own story and started to lift my head a little bit, and my eyes started opening, my ears started opening. I didn't think I had a life without food. I was so afraid to give up the food. What am I going to do without food? That's my life. That's my boyfriend. That's my lover. That's my entertainment. Oh, wow. Man, oh man, I am so grateful because doing this program, doing the steps, doing these tools, doing these phone calls, doing these meetings, I have so much hope. I have a life for the first time. It's been 13 years since I crawled into these doors and phone lines. And yeah, it's not been perfect. I've had some relapses, but I'll tell you what, I am living the life of Riley. I had no idea what I didn't know. And I owe it all to my higher power, all of it, my life, to my higher power, and to this program and you guys. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Nancy J., California.
Thank you very much, Nancy J. Up next is Sherry Z., followed by Janice P. Hem. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Sherry Z. from Southern California. It's so nice to be in the doctor's opinion, which I hadn't read in 30 plus years of program until I came into Vision. So I never had read this line, what is the solution? And then what happens is the big book answers it by way of a story. It doesn't answer, eat this, eat that, don't do this, don't do that. It's a story that you will become transformed if you are hopeless, you accept this plan, you will emerge transformed. And for years in this program, I thought the solution was changing what I ate. It was doing something different. It was all about controlling what I was doing. And when I finally surrendered and sat down to study these pages, and to really look at it, the solution is the experience of being transformed. And it wasn't just putting down the food. It was actually realizing that the mental twist was as devastating as the food. Because one, I don't know which one's first, the chicken or the egg. It was the food, then the mental twist, the mental twist, then the food. But I spent years trying to intellectualize that. And the truth is today is I'm transformed. I interact with people differently because the mental twist and the food does not dictate how I live today. And that's the game changer. That's the solution, is to live free of the mental twist and free of the food. And it happens by working these steps and reading these pages. So it only took me 30 plus years to read What is the Solution, never having seen it in all those years. But today I see it. Today I see it. It's all the work that I do to live transformed and to live in alignment with God. So thank you.
And thank you very much, Sherry Z. And next we have Janice P.M., followed by Chanel T. And after Chanel, I'll take another lineup of names. But just let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XXXI in the doctor's opinion. The first paragraph, what is the solution? Reading through two paragraphs, ending, a long time has passed with no return to alcohol. Good morning, Janice P.M.
And good morning to you, Mo, and everyone. My name is Janice P.M., and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts, over here in the East Coast. Yeah, you know, what is the solution? Well, you know, what is the problem? I have to know the problem. You know, I'm an old school teacher. If you have 2 plus 2 and you say 3, well, that's not the solution. The problem is you have to add, right, to get the right number. Well, what is my problem as a compulsive overeater? One word, powerless. And, you know, they tell me entire abstinence. That's what the book has been teaching me. Yeah, entire abstinence. But the problem is I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it with my willpower. I was willpowerless. I couldn't do it on my own self-knowledge, my self-reliance. I depended on myself for everything. I'll do it this way. I won't do it that way. You know, very, very poor solution was myself. However, because I was always looking for ease and comfort. So I can't do that, but I'll do this to please myself. Well, the real solution, if my problem is powerless, my solution, as I found out many, many years, is power. Not human power. Because I went to that. I went to the best sponsor, the best meeting, the best blah, blah, blah. You know, my husband was a doctor. He could give me pills. No, no. No human power could fix my problem with the solution because they were not powerful enough. I had to go through this plan. And when I came in here, you know, I was looking for the plan of the right food, naturally. But if it was your plan, it wouldn't work for me. So I did my own plan again, my own self. You know, and I would pray and say, God, please, you know, don't let me do this. But you see, I have a spiritual problem also beside my physical body and my obsessive mind. I have a spiritual malady, and a spiritual problem needs a spiritual solution. So this suggestion of the plan of action, which is stated, is the 12 steps to do what? To find that power. And by me implementing on the 12 steps, I found the power, my higher power, to solve my problems.
Fine.
For one day and one day only. Thank you so much, Mo. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice P.M. And up next is Chanel T. And after Chanel, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Chanel.
Hi, thank you, Mo. This is Chanel T. in Washington State. Gratefully living in recovery today. I'm a compulsive eater who gets to live in recovery today. Why? Grace of God. Working these steps. This book. This meeting. I mean, what do we do on this meeting? We read this book over and over and over. Why? I've got a built-in liar and forgetter in my head. Absolutely pathological liar. Oh, well, you're not 500 pounds. Yeah, but I was spiritually, emotionally bankrupt. I was done. I was at the end of me. So to find this doctor's opinion and apply it to my compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors. We've talked about the problem. The doctor talks about what my diagnosis is and now is getting into the treatment plan. And it's really a counterintuitive treatment plan. Oh, rely on a power higher than myself after, I have to put down the food first. It says after following the elimination of alcohol, there was found to be no permanent brain injury. He accepted the plan outlined in this book. The plan outlined in this book is working the 12 steps like my life depends on it every single day. Whether I feel like it or not, whatever diet pills out there, whatever new diet, whatever my friends are doing, I get to do this. This is not just a way for me to stay out of the food, although it is very much that, because I was never able to do that before. And I can do that today. But it's also a way for me to live because I have a life problem and food was my solution. I ran to the food so I didn't have to feel, so I didn't have to think sometimes. And when it talks about these severe consequences, physical consequences like gastric hemorrhage, wet brain that it's describing here. Yeah, no, I have a friend who just had to sell her house in her 60s because of this disease. She had to sell her house. There's way more to it than that. But it all comes down to being morbidly obese and continually having to go to the hospital and not being able to live in her home anymore because she's not safe there. Cellulitis, other things that are severe complications of this disease. It's real. It kills people. She's dying in this disease. I don't have to die in this disease. I get to live with this disease, with this treatment every single day. And you know where it says self-reliance? For me, it's God-reliance, right? It's God-reliance. Self-reliance didn't get me very far. It got me in the food. But I do know what he means there. And my God-reliance, my reliance on working these steps, on being with all of you each day, man, it's an amazing life for me. I hope if there's newcomers or people returning, or you're just really not sure, this isn't a diet plan. Yeah, got to have a food plan. I have to have my food down, those foods, those ingredients that trigger the allergy that I'm mentally obsessed over. Thank you. But I get a design for living that works for me every day. I'm the happiest I've ever been. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Chanel T. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs? XXXI, in the doctor's opinion, it begins with what is the solution? And it ends with a long time has passed with no return to alcohol.
Deb E.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Okay, so I got Deb E. and Robin P.
Joanne P.
Joanne P.
Jordan L.
B.
Sandy F. Nevada.
Oh, wait a minute. Jordan L. Who was after Jordan L.?
Sandy F. Nevada.
Sandy F. I'll take one more. I heard a man's voice.
Jeff A.
Jeff A. All right, Jeff, we'll stop there. I don't know if I'm going to get to you, but we'll give it a whirl. All right, I have Deb E., Robin P., Joanne P., Jordan L., Sandy F., and Jeff A. Good morning, Deb. Everyone else mute, please, except Deb. Good morning, Deb.
Hi, Mo. Hi, this is Deb E., recovery compulsive overeater in Israel. I've really come to appreciate these times where I can share live again. It used to be a given, and it's not anymore. So very happy to be on the meeting today. I don't have the paragraph in front of me, but just from listening to everybody speaking, it made me think of, you know, so what's my solution today? My solution today, simply put, is to be in contact with my higher power every day, you know, to seek guidance every day. Many times throughout the day. It's not just like at the beginning of the day or the end of the day. It's throughout. And what was my solution before? my solution was food for everything. Right? It was like what I went to. It was my go-to. And so if I look at them, I compare them, it's like, seems like an obvious choice now, right? Which one would I rather choose? But it wasn't obvious and it wasn't easy. And it wasn't my answer for a long time. You know, for a long time, my answer was the food. Like, it didn't even occur to me. It's coming to this program that really taught me to, like, have that relationship and cultivate it. There was none of that before. You know, talking about the confidence that this man got made me think of, like, the things I'm able to do today and the person I am today, direct result of, obviously, first, just what my higher power has blessed me with, but working this program consistently over and over, year after year, has, like, taught me to push my limits. You know, if I just went with, like, what I thought was the best I could do, I wouldn't have anything I have today, because my default, my tendency is to just give up way before I've even reached anywhere near my potential. And this program, like, especially step 6 and 7, which I feel like are really, like, the heart of it all, and that I work every day, are, like, going through the exercises of practicing the contrary actions to my character defects when I notice them come up, has really taught me. It's given, I have examples of courage and bravery that I never would have guessed I'd be capable of. And it's because of this program. It's just like this constant practice of pushing myself past what I think I'm capable of and believing that, like, I can do more because I have this spiritual contact every day. Like, I feel like my higher power has got my back. It's given me a lot of courage and it's given me confidence. It's made me a person that, like, I'm positive I wouldn't be without all this. And I think I'll pass with that. Thanks so much.
And thank you very much, Deb E. Up next is Robin P., followed by Joanne P. Good morning, Robin, from Costa Rica.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And thank you so much, Mo, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm really grateful to be abstinent today. You know, I feel like I was that unrecognizable person when I used to be so depressed and just praying to die. And I'm a really joyful person, and people always say, you have a great smile. And I feel like, you know, you light up, you know, and I feel like it's been 8 years, one day at a time, by God's grace and mercy, that I've been abstinent in this program, due to A Vision for You. I'm so eternally grateful to A Vision for You. And I'm not the same person. I am not recognizable. I just was in despair and was so profoundly lonely, like what they talk about in the book. And that, you know, I only had food. Food was my God, and food was my only friend. And I was so paranoid and miserable and fearful and resentful and just like, that self-centered fear, that ball of resentment, you know. And I'm so grateful. I'm not that person at all anymore. And if that he could be talking about me in that paragraph, and I'm so grateful. I think someone's unmuted. If you just check your mute status and press star one. I'm also so grateful that I have solutions too. There is a solution. I have, you know, the steps. I have a God squad. I have a sponsor. All of those things that, and these meetings that make such a difference in my life. You know, I don't need to go to the food today, thank God. I just get to reach up and reach out. And when I do that, you know, even with decisions that I've grappled over lately of how should I do this or not do this, and I had to do a 10th step, I had to do ProConless, and I got to turn it over to people and to God, and it was a we decision, not a isolated, lonely decision. I'm so grateful. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. I pass.
And thank you, Robin P. Up next is Joanne P., followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. So grateful to be here today. I am a compulsive overeater in recovery, and so thankful for the doctor's opinion and all of you and your shares and this book. Oh, my goodness. What is the solution? I came into this program despairing, really, with no, I thought I needed a psychiatrist or something. I knew something was wrong with me. I just couldn't stop. And what relief to find out that I have this obsession of the mind. I have this abnormal reaction to food, and my solution is my higher power, is my reliance on God, is knowing that only God can do for me what I can't do for myself because I lack power. And I love the word here. He accepted the plan outlined in this. Acceptance is such a huge part of my recovery. Yes, I accepted the 12 steps. I accepted everything my dear sponsor told me to do. And I learned that I had to accept people, right, for who they were and what they are, and to live in humility and to practice these principles in all our daily affairs so that I could go from this despairing person to, someone who was content. I feel a peace and a serenity by doing all of this and working with all of you. It brings tears to my eyes, really. So, the joy in the escape from what we were is really miraculous. Yeah, it's a miracle. So, thank you so much for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne P. Next, we have Jordan L., followed by Sandy F. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. my name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. What is the solution? I love how he answers this. It's not a direct answer at all. almost like maybe he didn't know how, or like if he answered it, you wouldn't believe him, or I don't know. It's written differently than what it is that we would be like accustomed to, right? And I think the line that jumped out to me, he had lost everything worthwhile in life and was only living, one might say, to drink. In my case, that was to eat. I have crossed out in my book, the word drink is crossed out, and I've written eat above it. And I know exactly what that's like. Having lost all things worthwhile in life, and not necessarily physically lost, but my sort of care for anything worthwhile in life, having lost that care, and really only living to eat, and really living in this very sort of self-protected, isolated, small world where eating is what I live to do, you know? And I think about that when we read this paragraph. I think about that state and how it is that someone got to me in that state, you know, someone in this program with a solution got to me. They got through to me in that state and was able to describe what the solution is, you know, what it is that he's trying to do. But in that case, it was almost more powerful because it came from someone who had been where I had been and was no longer there. They were now unrecognizable. They were now self-reliant. and content and brimming over with this sort of like solution, you know? And so, yeah, I guess that's what I was thinking about this morning. Thanks for letting me share.
Hey, thank you, Jordan L. Up next is Sandy F, followed by Jeff A. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. My name is Sandy F from Las Vegas, Nevada. This particular section of the book describes me to a T. It's as if God punched a hole in my self-protection. I became aware of my truth and of a divine being. And now, as it goes on later, it talks about filling the hole in the donut. We don't do that, not in AA with booze or drugs, and not in OA with food. I now ask divine for divine guidance when I'm afraid of that hole that he's punched. And I, by the grace of God, I'm staying abstinent this morning. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you, Sandy F. And followed by Sandy F, we have Jeff A. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, my name is Jeff A. California. All the people have said wonderful things. I always feel like I shouldn't talk so long. But one thing did occur to me. I have the same problem as everybody else. I actually do it one day, one meal at a time, because I do no unilateral food decisions at all. So because my brain will find a way to get back to the food. And I don't want to do that. But even today, yesterday, I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to be doing the alcoholic foods, but I can be angry about my brother. You know what I mean? And the program says, yeah, people who are angry, maybe they can handle it, but I can't. You know, and it's like, oh, God, I can't believe that's me, but I guess it is. And so I would do what I can do for the through the program. But in yesterday morning, I was in a good place. And so I thought, well, I'll call someone and see how they're doing in the program. And that guy said, hi, I'm doing great, too. And so then I was like, well, then let's just talk about whatever we want to talk about. And we talked for 10 minutes, and then that was it. I was so, what do you say? I was such an isolationist that I wouldn't talk with anybody. And then I would, if I needed to talk with someone, I could. And that's working out for me. But it's nice that I can talk with people who don't have a problem either, but we still have, we can talk about whatever is in, we're enjoying. And that's okay too. So it was really nice to see that both of us were doing fine. And we could also still talk. So anyways, that's just a thought there. It's been really helpful to me to be authentic. As my people pleasing has been a big problem in my life. And I'm getting better to this point where I let God prevail and let me be me, if that makes sense. Anyways, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Jeff A. And you round us out today. Thank you, everyone, for your shares and for being on the meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, thank you for letting me do service. I pass.